And I found a way I can get it, and that's what I'm doing. I'm going with it.
Party people!
They gotta throw his black hoodie on for this.
Party people!
I'm on my soundtrack shit. Check it out. Sipping whiskey with mugs, just left the polo lounge.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Database, fifth episode with Nana. Happy December. Today, I have a guest with me, Sierra. Welcome to the show. She's a day trader, part-time streamer, which I think is very impressive, and a college student studying psychology, which, by the way, Sierra, is what I went to college for. Welcome. Awesome. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are you? How's everything been going lately?
Well, you know, with the Warrior season being up and so up and down, but everything's been kind of exciting. I've been catching the World Cup. I mean, I didn't know I was interested in soccer so much. I hope people don't kill me for calling it soccer, but it's soccer. But yeah. So anyways, today we're going to go through a few things. Among them will be the Lakers return, the return of LeBron, the West mid-off, which I like to call Carl Anthony's injuries, and what's next for the Wolves. GSW's troubles on the road, fouls, and the referees. Do we have a referee problem, and is it targeting? Are the Celtics for real, and who's the East powerhouse? And lastly, our player of the week picks and worst player of the week to end things off. Okay. So just to start off, in the Lakers and LeBron return, I mean, we watched them beat the Bucks last night. What did you think?
So I was just talking to some Lakers fans about that. They're pretty excited. I've been hearing a lot of them talk about AD, kind of, you're talking about the return of Bron. I've been waiting for that for a minute, but I kind of expect the in and out thing with him at this point in his career. But I think AD returning to form in a sense, I don't know if you've seen him lately, but he's been looking like, you know, I wouldn't say quite 2020, but you know.
On the defensive side too, and offensive, I was like, oh, AD really back. I mean, right? And I don't want to jinx it because I never want to put injuries as something on player. But with him, we definitely have to look at that because he's injury prone. And can this level of production in the regular season sustain him? Because this is a lot. They do need pieces around both LeBron and AD to sustain this. Because if you're running LeBron and AD like this, with the performance they did last night and still only winning by three and still had a chance to lose the game, it's just a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you think about the pieces that they that they have around them? Because, you know, not full of shooters. So, you know, what do you think about that?
Well, those pieces aren't what I would say a championship team, or even are they even a playoff team? I mean, I'll give them play-in this year. I think they can get into the play-in. And even that's a lot to say, bearing any injuries happening. But once they get in the play-in, like, if you look at the West top six or top seven, who are they beating with this roster 4 out of 7 times? And in the end, that's all that matters, because you're just putting miles on AD's body and miles on LeBron's body. And what I like to call just wasting precious years, because you don't have time to experiment and play around these rosters. At the same time, you, with the Anthony Davis trade and what with the atrocious summer they had in the front office and what they did, bringing Russ in and stuff, you're really limited in what you can do as a Laker. Like, everybody's talking about trade Russ, do this. Like, who's going to want Russ right now? Half a year, you're paying, what, 20 for his, like, $46 million? I don't know what his real contract is, but it's pretty hefty. And you're not getting a real productive player right now because you've put him on the bench. I mean, I guess he's excelling his bench role, but I want to say, like, who would want to take them? And at the same time, if you are willing to trade Russ, are you willing to put yourself in basically no future mode? Because what you're essentially saying is we're giving up 2 more picks to get rid of Russ for half a year, or do you just write off this year?
Yeah, I feel like they should have already traded Russ. I don't know how you feel about that. I was thinking they should have traded Russ last year so they could try to get some pieces.
I'm actually one of those people that believes that Russ has just been a scapegoat for the team. Trading Russ is not solving anything. It's really not. Because do you really think Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, like, yes, it makes the team better, but does it make him champions? Is that a champion roster for you to give up 2 first-round picks? And by the way, they're both on, like, a 1-year contract. So, And Miles Turner is also another injury prone player. So do you really want to bet on that? Because that's right. What you're looking at. So I don't think trading Russ is even a solution. I think maybe trying to pick up some key role veterans or something. I don't know if you want. I would trade Patrick Beverley for sure. That I would get rid of for sure. But other than that, I don't see anything else. I mean, Lonnie Walker has become quite a surprise for the Lakers. And maybe he's an asset you package with Patrick Beverley and then try to get something a little better with a shooter, you know, a more consistent shooter. That's the only thing I see for the Lakers.
To be honest, I don't even know how much can be done with this roster. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like they sacrificed their future and like right now also for that one ring they got in 2020. Because I don't think trading Russ is a solution, but I more so look at it like, how do you maximize the fact that you traded away a lot of assets to get AD and Russ, and the chemistry isn't really there? We could have already guessed that, you know, it wasn't going to work, but they tried it for whatever reason. And I feel like, for one, having him on the bench, that could help them a lot more last season. But now it's like, who do you move in order to try to get some type of assets back to build with as they're going forward? You know, like, I don't really know what their future is looking like, considering these big trades they've done. So they're not going to be contenders, I don't think, you know, kind of with LeBron being in and out. Maybe if AD can stay consistent, but that's a big if. I'm not saying he can't, but I'm just going based off of his previous injury history, you know? So yeah. I do think getting some other pieces around them could be good, but I think it'll be interesting to see where they end up. I said from the beginning of season as well that I also think they'll be a play-in team. So,
well, you know,
that's kind of where I'm thinking at.
Well, I think AD will stay consistent, but the issue is it enough? And I don't think it's enough.
Right.
Because it's not like they're winning in like big, like they've beaten the Spurs twice, lost to the Pacers. I have to beat up 17. Had a good offensive game. I think people underrate that they still gave up 129 points. Yeah, you know, and that's with the Bucks not playing well. So, essentially, I don't expect the Lakers to keep dropping 132 points every night. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So, and with the Bucks, I don't know what the probably top defense in the league. I don't know how that happened, but in the end, it showed me more on the Bucks' struggles last night versus the Lakers' improvement. But moving on to the West, what do you think about this mid-off going on? The difference between the first seed and the ninth seed is like five games. And as bad as like my Golden State Warriors been, they can still go on a quick little run and still be the number one seed. It's only like four games off in the loss column. So right. What do you think?
Man, it's been a while. How many games are we into the season? Did we hit 25 yet?
No, 22. I think we're in 22.
Okay.
Range. We've played more games than a lot.
Okay. Okay. We have
2020. Okay.
So it's been really interesting going into this season. I was kind of thinking, I was like, I feel like this could be a really, really competitive year. As for the Warriors specifically, I didn't think that we would have a very high ranking. Like I was thinking maybe they'll probably try to aim for 3 or 4 at least because of the young guys and integrating these newer guys into the system. The other teams, I was expecting the Kings to be pretty good. I feel like they're still a sleeper team. Mike Brown, definitely a difference maker, but also they have like great talent. Like we could say, like, for one, I've been on Keegan Murray watch since the beginning of the season. He's my favorite rookie in the draft. And then I just think they have some great talent over there and their system is kind of flowing, having some bonus. And I think they got Kevin Herter from Atlanta. I thought that was a nice pickup for them. He's been really good. So they have been really interesting to watch. And the Mavs, we know it's just like the Luka show. I don't know how long he can sustain this, but those are some of the most interesting teams to me so far. And what's going on with the rest of them? It's just really,
I think they're losing within each other, which is why let me rephrase that. I don't think it's even a mid-off because they're facing each other and losing to each other, you know? So I get like, we have a lot of the teams that are the same in the West right now this year. So like there's not teams that have separated themselves. Like, oh, I'm clearly the best team.
Right.
unless you're saying like the Suns, but then like they're the Suns. I don't really care about the Suns. They're not gonna, they don't scare nobody. Like Suns regular season, you know, they're the replacement Jazz right now. But other than that, everybody else you look at, I'm like, come playoff time, am I scared of any of them within each other? Like it seems like who will be the favorite will be up in the air. Obviously, I think Golden State will get better defensively, and they have the best player in the conference and in the NBA, in my opinion.
Right.
But that helps a lot. And the championship experience and all that thing will come into factor come playoff time, which is why teams like Golden State is kind of like higher right now to me, in my opinion. But other than that, like the, if you look at the rest of the West, and I'm looking at like, I think Dallas is actually worse than they were. Even though they got Christian Wood, they haven't figured out how to integrate him in the offense, like in a consistent basis. I think Luka's just the, what I like to call the white privilege, James Harden. And by that, I mean, what James Harden was criticized by in his prime is what we are parading and like praising about Luka. You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, did you see the video Devin the Lab had tweeted out the other day? It was like a compilation of egregious carries and travels by Luka and Giannis.
We will definitely get to that when we go down to the Golden targeting. But it's, as far as the West mid-off, I want to say, like, I think Denver will be better than majority of the teams, and they will integrate themselves because they're already winning, and they don't even look like the full team yet to me, but they still like number one, two seed, almost number one seed. I think Golden State will crawl up there to top three, top four at best. I personally think the Lakers will be in the play-in. Pelicans are a really good team to watch, but I just feel like they're young, inexperienced, and like it'll take a little bit longer for them to be the team they're supposed to be, but they're definitely playoff bound. Memphis, very arrogant team, and I think their arrogance will be the death of them. So, like, there's a difference. There's a fine line between, like, confidence, arrogance, and being humble, and Memphis seemed to not understand that. And it went against them last year as well, but now I'm looking at this year in the playoffs. They could cause some run, but I think certain teams can really stomp and beat Memphis. So that is what I say the West, you know, in general.
Gotcha.
And now moving on, like some bad news for the Timberwolves. Karl-Anthony Towns expected to miss significant time this season. And with the Timberwolves investing pretty much their whole future in Rudy Gobert, which I will still say probably the dumbest trade package in NBA history. I just couldn't believe it happened, but it did. And now you're stuck with this team you have without your quote unquote best player. And on top of that, D'Lo's on a contract here this year. And to make matters worse, you don't have draft picks or anything for the next 5 years. So, I mean, every other year, but still, like, what do you think about Cat's injury and how that would affect the Timberwolves?
Well, first of all, I think even before he got injured, it was a little shaky with the Gobert experiment. I don't know what you were thinking. Once we all saw that trade, it was just kind of, that was unexpected, you know, like, so that already wasn't working out. So I don't think this is going to help at all, having him out. But I would say in terms of Cat, first of all, hope he gets better soon, has a speedy recovery. I'm glad it wasn't something more serious. But I just feel like, at what point do you kind of, you can't give up on the Gobert thing. You know, he's there. But I'm thinking about how Anthony Edwards is affected by this. So I'm going to be watching them a little bit more to see how is he flowing offensively without Cat there. Because it's a little bit of an issue between those three, not in terms of like relationships, but in terms of like the basketball fit. So I need to see a little bit more of them all together, but I'm not sure how this is going to go, because I also feel like Anthony Edwards is somewhat emerging as a leader too. So I don't think Cat not being there is going to help anymore in terms of like figuring out the flow because then they're going to have to reintegrate once he comes back. And it was already looking a little shaky. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm interested what you think about how it's going so far.
I actually am one of those few people that believe that Minnesota should trade Karl-Anthony Towns. I don't think there's a world where Anthony Edwards can grow as a player with Karl-Anthony Towns there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I think they have to pick between Kat and Anthony Edwards. And you obviously have to pick Edwards because you had Kat. You had to experiment with Kat, and it didn't work. You couldn't build around him, and it's not working. Now, try to let Anthony Edwards grow as a player and try to get some draft revenue and some players with the Kat trade because he's your biggest asset. And take his best friend with him too if you want, but he's only on 1 year contract. But if you want to extend him for the summer, because D'Lo has ruined his market, so you're going to get him for cheaper this offseason. And if you get D'Lo and Kat and then now you get D'Lo signed this offseason, I would package both of them together and try to get some sustainable like pieces around Anthony Edwards and let him grow as a player. And that's why I think the Timberwolves should go, because I don't think this Kat Anthony Edwards experiment is going to work or ever going to work. And
I agree.
And yeah, and it's just like you can see the body language of Anthony Edwards. Just he's frustrated, and he's only like a third-year player, so frustrated. Doesn't have the offense, the reins, or nothing. Most 30-year players who are at the level or at around there are given like so much more offensive freedom and so much things to do in leading a team. Right? You see how much Haliburton getting out of Sacramento has done for him. He's just a total different player now. He's so much better, and he's just improved in every aspect of his game. Not saying he was better than De'Aaron Fox or the guys he was with in on the Kings, but you can't grow there as a player. You can't. Like you, a guy you're playing the same position is there. Like you just can't be there. And which is why like that trade was so helpful for Haliburton. Now you look at LaMelo, you know, he is the best player on that team. And LaMelo has given growth and to be what he wanted, bearing his injuries. But Anthony Edwards needs the same kind of leeway. He needs the same kind of effort from the Timberwolves organization to let him lead a team or grow and go through those growing pains with him.
I 1,000% agree with you. That, like, I don't hear that many people in this trade we're on with, you know, trade Kat. But I 100% agree that they need to go ahead and break that up sooner rather than later. Yes. Bring some other assets in to help Anthony Edwards, allow him to blossom as a leader. Because even watching them last year in the playoffs, I just did not like the body language of Karl-Anthony Towns. I didn't like the way he...
Okay, yeah, playoff series that year. Because you remember the Jimmy year, they went to the playoffs, and this year. And both times, Karl-Anthony Towns was, I don't want to say a shell of himself, but you know what? I will say it. Last year, he was a shell of himself. He was not good. Like, he was just not playable. Outside of, like, one game, Karl-Anthony Towns was just terrible. Like, you just look at him, like, the stage was just too big for him. But with Anthony Edwards, like, he wasn't shying away. Like, he was going out swinging. And which is something you want to see in a player that you're developing or you're trying to build a team around to become a playoff contenders, moving forward, becoming championship contenders. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
Yeah. Speaking of championship contenders, do you think the Boston Celtics are for real? Even without their coach, you know, their nasty coach out of the way, they're out here looking like the best team in the NBA, even though they lost last night because of Jason Tatum's overtime performance or in-game performance. I think he just had a bad game. If he shows up, they don't lose that game. What do you think about the Celtics?
Well, I think they're the best team in the league right now. My Warriors, you know, maybe we'll be able to get a momentum, but as of right now, I think they're the best team. The way that I kind of measure contenders or like the best of the best in terms of teams is your offense at least just as good as your defense? And the Celtics,
obviously, they don't have Robert Williams yet.
Right. They don't even have Robert Williams. We don't know when he's coming back for sure, but it'll definitely be in the second half of the season. So that's the part for me. And the one piece I felt like they were missing last year was a good point guard that was efficient. And they got Malcolm Brogdon. And I was like, damn, I didn't even think about him because I was thinking about this in the finals. Like, who could they have? They need to let Marcus Smart be more of like a specialist in terms of like his defensive thing. Because Celtics fans were telling me, oh, well, he can play point guard. He can play point guard. I'm like, yes, he can. But at a certain level, you don't want someone that just can do something. You want people that can excel and play to their strengths. And that's not what Marcus Smart was doing, which is why we saw him take ill-advised shots, right? He could get into a momentum, but the Warriors basically banked on the fact that he would miss more of those shots in critical moments with bad shot IQ than he would make, which is what happened, right? Yeah. And then not being able to facilitate properly as well, you know, down the stretch, that's a huge issue, and they filled that hole. So to me, they're the most complete team now. I feel like they have everything they need.
Yeah. I'm only – the only thing that I might be a little bit iffy on is that star power with the Brown Tatum. Can they both show up in the same game 4 out of 7 times in a series? They seem to always be playing one or the other. And – you know, teams can exploit that, and like Golden State Finals tape is probably a tape that they will use against Boston when teams are studying film on how to mobilize and reduce their production as a team, even on the defensive side. So it'll be interesting to see how they can counterattack that moving forward.
I feel like them having someone like Malcolm Brogdon to facilitate between them, it just makes it to where it fills in that gap a little bit. Because having someone like Marcus Smart as your, you know, primary ball handler or playmaker, and then having JT and JB both having issues handle the ball, it was just too many weaknesses that could be exploited like a good team like Golden State. So I feel like that star power thing could be a question, but Jaylen Brown played great. You know, learning how to play off each other, I think that's something that can always evolve. And Jaylen Brown is, I think he just turned 26 and Jason Tatum is 25. So I would say if I'm trying to guess, I'm going to lean towards them figuring the chemistry part of it out more because it's not a ability or skill or talent issue. And they're pretty young. So I think as time goes on, we're going to have to kind of shift the way we're viewing these guys because of their age. We've been watching them since they first came in the league. Yeah. And they've lived in the playoff semifinals, conference finals, and just got to the finals. And they're right now just entering their physical prime. Yeah. You know, so it's going to be really interesting seeing it play out, but I don't see many teams that are better and have that much chemistry and experience together.
Looking at the East and everybody – hypothetically, everybody's healthy the playoff series. Do the Celtics beat Philly and do they beat Milwaukee? Would you give them the favor on those two?
Milwaukee is tough because looking at how far Giannis took them last year without having Chris Middleton, I think that has to be a conversation. The Sixers, I definitely think they can beat them. They're just way too talented and experienced with each other. They're trying to make things work over there in Philly, and then you got the injury issues with Embiid. He likes flopping. It's way more structured with the Celtics. So Milwaukee, I would love to see it, but I don't know about that one.
Yeah, makes sense. And speaking of champions, our Golden State Warriors and our struggles with the referees, defense, and fouls. And Golden State, I think watching them, like unlike last year, I genuinely believe that the referees have had an agenda. I'm not saying Golden State doesn't foul a lot. They do foul a lot. But there's calls that are being called that aren't being called consistently throughout the league. The travel and the carry call. At this point, it's just targeting. Because I'm like, you have to, like, there's clips in each game. And specifically, let's look at the just Ja Morant basically carries and travels every play. And whenever Giannis is dribbling, he's carrying and traveling. Luka, all these players. And you're looking at, like, why are you only calling it on the Golden State Warriors? And anybody, it's just becoming like you're ruining the game. It feels like watching Golden State now is like a 5-hour game because every time there's a stoppage with the clock. And it pisses me off because I'm like, it's not just that. Like, they can't play defense correctly, because just to start the game, Sierra, we would get two quick fouls on, like, our two best defense, whether it's Looney, Draymond, or Wiggins. And now we're just crippled throughout the game because now we have to play these soft coverages, like, because we can't overhelp or do too much or, like, contest as physically as we want to, because we don't want to pick up the third and fourth foul before the half. And it has just become a pattern every single game. It doesn't matter what team it is. They are going to the line twice as much as we are. We're going to be in foul trouble. And we're also getting those weird calls. And on the flip side, because it's not just one side that's the issue. If you're going to call all of these soft ticky-tack calls, fine. But you're going to have to call the opposite when they're literally tackling Steph Curry and he's getting zero calls. He's getting pulled through every screen. They're holding his hands. They're out here playing football on our star player and zero calls. And he's averaging, what, 4.5, 5 free throws a game when he should be around the 8, 10 free throws a game. And that is just something very concerning. And I don't understand what the problem here is with the league. I don't think it's ever been this bad as it's been this season. What do you think? Have you been noticing the same thing, or is it just me?
Oh, yeah. No, it's not just you. I've definitely been noticing it. I feel like this is not the first time this has happened throughout this run, and I feel like from outsiders' perspective, who aren't Warriors fans or haven't watched a plethora of the games, they're probably going to think, oh, no, well, the Warriors obviously get calls. I put the numbers yesterday for Steph Curry in particular. He averages below 4.5 free throw attempts per game. When I checked about a week ago, he was averaging about 6 free throw attempts per game, which felt like a lot. I'm not sure what it's at now, but I do feel like just watching the games, he's gotten less.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know, it's crazy because you're saying, I don't know what other people think. It has gotten to a point where others have started to admit that, the refs are targeting them, especially in that Dallas Maverick game. Because, like, there was fans, because watching that game, like, opposing fan bases, and, like, they're looking at it. Like, I'm particularly in group chats with, like, Laker fans and Bulls fans and those guys and Nets fans. They're like, oh, yeah, but ha, 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 we don't care. We see it, but we don't care. So it's not like it's just a Golden State fan base outcry. Everybody can see it. They know that it's becoming a point where coaches can game plan for free throws into Golden State games because they know. And once you do that, how can we play defense? Our defense can improve. Obviously, I've seen an improvement from our defense from the start of the season to now. But all that is, like, on a pause right now, because every time they try to do something defensively, it's a foul. And vice versa, we're not getting those calls.
Right. That's so true. And I think just based on watching the team, it's always been somewhat of an uphill battle with the refs. Some years is better than others, but I think back to that game against, I think it was, okay, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves hot stove contact. I think it was Okogie had, like, you know, Steph took a jump shot. He hit his ankle. They called it hot stove contact. You know, we had the other game with KD and Steph. KD hit a three to end the game. Then the ref said, oh, no, it doesn't count. Steph then hits another three in the corner. And then I think he pointed at the ref that game. Then we had Steph do the T game, you know, last year where he gave a technical to the ref.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like the refs are just driving a point home. And it's obvious. Like, it's very blatant. The Jordan Poole carrying thing, that is his own individual issues. A lot of dudes carry, though.
I don't think it's his individual issue. I think it's in his head now, because they don't call those plays usually, Sierra. He's been carrying. That's his game.
I don't think they can let him.
They do, though. They don't necessarily call carry unless he's egregious.
But the thing is, he has such a quick first step. I think that's why they're calling it even more, because some coaches have pointed it out, one, and then two, I think he gets way too much of an advantage because of, like, how he's using it. So some carries, I think, aren't going to get called as much. Like Luka, maybe because he's a little slower, you know, it's not going to get called as much. It's unfortunate, but I think he can make the adjustment.
Yeah, for sure. And last, before we end, I just want you to give me your West and East Player of the Week and Worst Player of the Week. Who do you think? Who do you have this week?
Worst player of the week, best player. I will have to look at the records. I still think Steph Curry's playing at a sky high level. He has like a 69% true shooting percentage and averaging 31.7. I'm not sure what it was after the last game, but around 31, 32 points per game. And I think the Warriors are on trajectory to continue what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. As for worse, I don't have a good enough scale to say what the worst player is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I can't think of any
out of the superstars.
Out of the superstars?
Yeah, out of the all-stars. Who do you think have the worst player this week in the West? Or East?
Dang, they've all been really good.
Yeah.
It's really hard. They've all been really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get what you're saying, but I would have probably my best player in the West be this week, Anthony Davis.
Okay.
That's
a good one.
I don't really want to give credit to Anthony Davis, but he's been that dude. He really been that dude this week, and that's super impressive and what he's been doing, so I'll give him that. In terms of the East, who my best player of the week would be, I don't know. I wanted to say Jason Tatum, but after last night's game, he kind of threw it off. But I can also give it to Giannis, because Giannis has been amazing. And I think because we're just so used to what Giannis does, we just don't consider him.
Right.
Like, yeah, so for normal. Sure. Like, we just expect it, which is very unfair.
Yeah, I agree. Same thing with Steph Curry. I refuse to get used to what he's doing. It's absolutely incredible. And he's, what, 34, about to turn 35 in March.
Yeah.
So it's truly amazing what some of these players are doing, to see, like, the young and the older talent still at high levels.
Yeah. For me, I would have, for my worst player, like, all-star, fringe all-star player, because he's not really an all-star, on the West, I definitely would take D'Angelo Russell. He's just been horrendous. I mean, he's had a couple of good games, but he does have a good game, the Wolves always win. But he barely has good games. It's like one good game every like 10 games, and that's not enough. He's had two or three good games all season, and he just has to be better, especially with Karl-Anthony Towns not being there. And I believe the whole trade for Rudy Gobert was to benefit D'Angelo Russell, because that's what he excels at as a playmaker, having that one big there. And I just need him to get it together on that West. As far as the East, I'm really not paying too much attention to what's going on in the East as often, because it's kind of like a snooze fest over there. But I would probably have to say, I don't know. I heard Trae Young's been bad. I haven't watched the games as much, and I heard he's also injured. So maybe I will not give him the title because he's been out for a couple of games, but I don't know if you watch Sierra the East as much, but I catch only the higher level teams, and they have been star.
Yeah, I've been watching some of them. You know, I mostly watch the Cavs and the Nets for the most part.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I have my worst player of the week for the East. And I don't know if he's just the week title, but probably maybe the month title. Zach LaVine. There you go. What has happened to that man? I don't know where he has been. Zach LaVine will take that title for me. So there you go. Yeah. I have Giannis best and then Zach worst. And then on this side, I have D'Lo the worst and Anthony Davis the best. There's my final picks. So,
okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Sierra, it was really lovely talking to you. I'm so happy that we had this conversation. It was a great episode.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining me. I look forward to talking to you.
Thank you.
And we could do more episodes as we go.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me on. You know, like, this is the prime time. We're entering the prime time of the season-ish, you know, depending on how you look at it. More so the second half. So I'm excited about some of these more entertaining matchups we have coming up. Like, we're playing the Celtics on December 10th, I believe. We have some games versus the Nets coming up, the Grizzlies. So yeah, I think we're really getting to the meat of it.
Christmas games coming up. You know, is the season's going to be just more exciting as we go. And All-Star break. And, you know, the real season really starts after the All-Star break. Mm-hmm. But where certain separation is going to start to form in the West. Hopefully it does, but I don't, at this rate, it's probably not going to towards mid-March.
Right.
Yeah. So conversations will be had.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me on.
You guys go check out Sierra's stream. I mean, if you want to say where your stuff
is. My Twitch is Sierra_inthebonus. My Twitter is at applejuicegang7. Yeah. YouTube, Sierra_inthebonus. That's where I'm at. I'm mostly on Twitch and do some film breakdown analysis, have my pod, things like that. It's more so like interactive, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm usually at. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And one last thing I want to say to you, Sierra, like for everybody listening, Sierra is one of like the most easygoing Golden State fans you'll ever meet. She's very reasonable and respectful. I won't say I'm like that because I'm very disrespectful at times and polarizing. But she gives you the space and opportunity to talk and get your point across, even if she doesn't agree with you. So that's something I truly admire about you, and I wanted people to know that. So thank you.
Party people!
They gotta throw this black hoodie on for this.
Party people!
I'm on my soundtrack shit. Check it out.